Blog Talk Radio.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Of the macabre, your harlot of horror, Gore Girl. How's it going out there, everybody? And of course, it wouldn't be a show if we didn't have tech problems. So that's why I'm very happy to have this man sitting next to me. This is my tech guy, Yed. How's it going, Yed?
I hate technology. My mic's not working.
We have such problems all the time. We actually, I'm wondering if it's not feeling stuff because of our trip to Mid-South.
It could be possible. It definitely is.
Look at my mic's all jacked right now too. What's going on? Oh my god!
Bloody technology.
So I don't know what's going on, guys, but that's some funny stuff. Wow! Did you hear that? Did you hear that traditional horror right there for you? I mean, opening up the show—that could only mean one thing, guys. Having that little snippet in there cues you to know that this is the first Gore Girl Halloween Extravaganza show. That's right, guys. I swear to God, it's the macabre, it's the insane, it's decapitation, it's blood, guts, it's gore, it's psychological terror, it's B-movie slaughter, it's 1950s driving classic, it's Lugosi and Reigns and all your favorite fiends from the other side. So anyway, guys, I am freaking excited because that's right, guys, we are getting so close to Halloween. Dangerously close to our favorite time of year. Every horror fan's dream come true. Our gorgasm, our wet dream itself, Halloween. So, oh my God, guys, we've got an entire month of craziness for you. You thought it could get any crazier than us rambling about psychotic things? Hell no! We get nuttier! Oh my God. Seriously. We've got some great stuff for you guys. We're going to be talking about rituals of Halloween, traditions, things that have been passed down, like bobbing for apples, the history behind that. I mean, just weird, random facts. Because is that not what the Gore Girl Variety Hour brings you, is weird, random facts? I don't know. I'm thinking about it right now. Yes, we do. Seriously? Oh, my God, guys, I'm psyched. You know why? Because we went to Mid-South this weekend. Talked about it last weekend. We were on our way. Peggy, have you survived your tuberculosis?
Apparently, I'm still fighting it.
Hey, I got to give you props for being a trooper. And after that episode we had about Waverly Hills Tuberculosis Sanatorium, our techie Ed, in solidarity to the show, in loyalty, caught tuberculosis. So I'd like to thank you for going the extra mile.
It was fitting. We were in Louisville this weekend.
We have chunks of his lung on the windowsill as a reminder of the phlegm that he's hacked up. Ooh. Oh, I need a little drink of water. God, I feel like we've just been insane. I don't know. I've been drinking, like, pure beer the last, like, I don't know. We went through how many cases. I have no idea. But, oh, my God, guys, seriously. We went to Mid-South. We're going to talk to you about that because we got to give you a recap. If you weren't there, if you missed the insanity, we're going to have to give it to you. We're going to have to just, I don't know how many times you hear that, though. We're going to have to give it to you. We're going to give it to you, guys.
We're going to give it to you hard.
Yes, with no lube. But, oh, my God, guys. No. GG Hour always provides lube, okay? We're nice. We like our fans. It's all good. Thank you. This is great. Oh, my God. We have an insane show tonight. We have circus envy on, guys. I am so freaking psyched. This guy is awesome. I met him a while back at the National Horror Convention, and what a great guy, man. I'm just insane. This guy rocks. And, I mean, when you hear him, you're going to know why. He's one of the most beloved horror personas in the industry today. The man is hot. He's on fire. Photo shoots and movies and, I mean, all sorts of things. This guy is insane. He is our favorite nutso-psychotic clown. I love this guy to death, so we're going to bring Circus Envy on a little bit later. But, yes, this is the first Halloween show. So what can you expect from our Halloween extravaganza? Well, since they're passionate about Halloween, you're going to get passionate Halloween rambling. Yes, my friends, more than usual. We are, like I said, we're going to talk about traditions. We're going to talk about rituals. You know, Techie is going to, you know, bring some of the ritual side to it. We're going to, you know, bring horror movie guests on. Like next week we got, you know, Ed Neal from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I mean, we've got the original Michael Myers coming on the end of the month towards Halloween. How fitting, right? But seriously, it's going to be insanity. It's Halloween, all Halloween, all the time. And, yeah, look, now our technology is telling us, hey, I think I picked something up. Screw it. We don't care. But I don't know. I hope everybody can hear me out there. I don't know what's going on. We've got some tech problems. But anyway, that little piece of traditional horror, that those two little measures we played for you before our big GG theme song, is actually the indication to you guys that it's a Halloween show. So that will be played on each of the five shows for the Halloween extravaganza. So if you're checking the archives or you're trying to get somebody to listen, if they don't hear those first two measures, it's not the Halloween extravaganza show. So this is the start of it. The next four shows will have the same two measures just to indicate to you guys and make it easier when you're searching the archives for the Halloween extravaganza. But it's going to be nuts. It's going to be insane. And I call it the Halloween extravaganza because seriously, who's going to get in-depth about Halloween for the entire month? I mean, guys, seriously, think about it. It's Halloween, man. And this is where I was talking about. Okay, we go to Mid-South. We come back, right? And, you know, you're down south. It's all sunny. It's all bright. We come back up to Chicago, all right, where the GG Studios is the home base up here. And we come back up here, and, man, I was walking around today, went and got some dinner, and, oh, my God, it's fall, man. And you know what I was talking about the last couple shows. It's that fall time. You feel it in the air. You smell Halloween. You get insane. You want to start, you know, decorating your house. You want to start picking out Halloween costumes. You want to start goring yourself up. You want to just run around. And for me, my personal favorite thing about Halloween is scaring the crap out of everybody else. You know, you want to wear, you want to just do your face bloody and special effects, go to the mall, scare old women. It's great. It's good times. We love it. But seriously, I mean, that's what it's about. It's the adrenaline rush. It's the feeling we have that Halloween gives us. Everybody has a different reason for loving Halloween, and that's awesome. Me personally, man, my childhood, every Halloween was amazing. My sister was born on Halloween, so we'd have massive haunted houses. She would have massive costume parties. Her friends, my friends, you know, my other sister's friends, you know, my dad's friends, my mom's friends. Like, it's like a giant, we used to have giant parties, guys. And they were always costume parties. And, of course, my mom and dad, you know, the Mr. and Mrs., you know, Gore girls, parents, whatever you want to call them, Mr. and Mrs. Gore, because it would be kind of weird if they were Mr. and Mrs. Girl.
Yeah.
So Mr. and Mrs. Gore, they fed me right on horror. My mom got me to watch my very first horror movie when I was three, and I was hooked, guys. And, of course, a little trivia for you, Gore Girl's first horror movie ever was John Carpenter's Christine. Awesome movie. I was 3 years old, and instead of being like, oh, my God, I was like, why is it doing that? Why is it killing people? What's it doing now? Who's going to die next? You know, it was, and my mom was like, I knew something was off with you. Look what hit his bread. The blood, guts, and gore queen herself today. But, no, seriously, I mean, for me, Halloween was childhood, man. It was awesome time. It was, you know, the weather was changing. And there's something about fall. It gets quieter. Like summer, you got all these noises. Everything seems noisy. Winter, it's too dead. No one's outside. But fall, it's creepy. It's the creepy feeling you get, like someone's watching you, the leaves are blowing. It's a horror movie in the making. You could be in your backyard, and it's like a horror movie. Just listen. Stop and listen. It's insane. I'm telling you. So, I mean, as a kid, you know, feeling this and, you know, getting excited, watching horror movies on Friday night. Your mom lets you stay up late to watch a horror movie, you know. You know, having your friends over, you know, whatever, watching Halloween or Exorcist or whatever it was that you guys were going to watch at the time. Usually, it's a slasher flick that people usually end up watching. But come on, how awesome was that? The feeling you got, you're dressing up, going out. I mean, Halloween night itself was like this ultimate countdown. Lots of kids remember always a countdown because of candy. No, it was a countdown because of the feeling, looking at all the cool costumes and the makeup and just, you know, people running around scaring each other and being scared. It's an adrenaline rush to be scared. It's the psychotic thing that we all have in our subconscious to be afraid, to like to be afraid. We want it. We're going to go into the dark woods. We're going to make sure that chainsaw guy chases us, man, because that's adrenaline. We want to run. We want to scream. That's just what it is. Or maybe it's just me. But seriously, that's what it is, guys. That's what we're going to be bringing you the entire month of October, the feeling, man, bringing back the childhood, bringing back, you know, the warm, fuzzy feelings that Halloween brought, the fear, the terror, and God, the movies, guys, the movies. So seriously, buckling, guys, because it's going to be nuts. But we got to talk about Mid-South. I mean, this is the first show, and we have to start it off. We can't overwhelm them too much with all the Halloween stuff. So we're going to start off recapping our weekend at Mid-South. Kind of ease you guys into the Halloween horror. But, oh, my God, Mid-South, guys. I don't know if any of you were there. If you weren't, you missed a good time. It was a different convention because most paranormal conventions are nuts. They're like horror conventions. There's people everywhere. There's insanity. People are chasing each other around. I mean, there's just, you know, people are going out hanging out, they're partying, it's always nuts, right? And I mean, it's good nuts, good times, but that's not interesting, good nuts.
Good nuts.
As opposed to bad nuts.
What's the difference?
Or Alec Baldwin's sweaty balls, you know, I don't know. Good times. Anyway, so, you know, Mid-South this year was interesting because it was different. It was very relaxed. It was very, you know, not as hectic, as crazy, as in-your-face psychotic as usual conventions are. It was very relaxed. You know, they had a very relaxed schedule. Everybody just kind of chilled. You had a little of that Southern hospitality going on. So everything was all laid back and calm. So it was different. It was a good different, though. A little bit crazy, but it was a good different. Anyway, so we went to Mid-South in Louisville, Kentucky, guys. Of course, Waverly Hills is there. We did a ghost story for you last week. Louisville's awesome for ghost hunting, some crazy stuff, and we have to thank the Louisville Ghost Hunters for putting on a great show at Mid-South, and basically, you guys have got some great paranormal stuff to research down there, so cool, we love to hear it, but yeah, so we definitely, I promised, I got to give a shout out, Bobby T, I love you, man, Dale, you guys rock, so keep up the good work, we'll see you next year. That's a threat, by the way. just kidding. But seriously, it was awesome, guys. The best part, though, of this convention is not the convention itself. The best part for us, because, I mean, we go to these conventions all the time. It's the thing, you know, you do the shows, you know, you go and meet the fans, you talk, you converse, you share ideas. For us, it's more about getting together with your friends. Your old friends, man, you also get to see each other all the time. You see each other at conventions, and that's it. So, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like a family reunion. That's the best way to put it. A couple people had mentioned it. That's the best way to say it. It's like a family reunion. So, that is the fun part of Mid-South, because that gets a little nuts, gets a little crazy. That's piss your pants fun right there, guys. And I have to say right now that Techie Ed and I had a freaking blast. We hung with, of course, Tom Amber from Michigan Other Side. We hung out. You know, Ghostly Talk was there. Of course, Ghostman and Demon Hunter were there. You had, I can't even remember. There was three other radio shows there?
There was a lot of radio shows there,
which was cool. It's cool to see such surge in programming. It gives you guys a good variety of stuff, of ideas to listen to. So, yeah, very cool. There's some cool vendors there. There's a priest there that performs exorcisms. He was detaching demons from people all day. It was insane. I expected Linda Blair to pop out from under the table and be like, no! You know, I mean, it was nuts. So it was cool, though. Tim Yancey was there. Trish was there. You know, oh, my God, Jason Gowen was there. It was nuts, guys. It was absolutely nuts. But the two people that made Mid-South this year, we are going to crown them as the ASS King and Queen, perhaps. We're going to crown them as the stars, the VIP of Mid-South. I think we should do this now. I think we should install a new segment where we crown who was the funniest or the most outlandish at a convention.
I agree.
King and a queen.
This,
I
is, think a good, this is good. This
and
is
we
a good idea.
Prizes or something, like a certificate or something. Anyway, the two people that win for the most outlandish, the craziest, of course, the two that kept Pecky Ed and I rolling all weekend, Ghostly Talk, Doug and Bonnie. Oh, my God. Give it up.
Woo-hoo!
Give it up. They are the king and queen of the convention because the insanity that pours forth from their mouths, I don't know where it came from. I mean, look at everything that happened this weekend. And thank you to Doug and Bonnie because we would have never known these facts had it not been for them. You know what, guys? You need to go to a paranormal convention because you can learn things like this. And it's thanks to guys like Doug and Bonnie that keep us in the loop, that keep us thirsting for knowledge. Where else would we know that if you circle the airport more than one time, you are a terrorist? If you take out guard shacks, you might be a terrorist. So, I mean, how cool is that? And thank you for Doug for doing that. And, of course, we have Doug to thank for teaching us that a $1,500 GPS system is crap. The GPS system is supposed to get you to your location, not
take it away from it.
It made you circle it at a highway. You had to wave to it as you drove by 15 times, circling your destination because you couldn't get off the highway to get to it. And it just kept saying, the GPS is pretty much just like, just keep going, dumbass. What are you doing? Wave to it. Hey, kids, Big Ben. You know? It's just freaking nuts. So, good times. And, of course, the all-important knowledge that we learned this weekend at the Mid-South Louisville Convention is that Jesus is an armrest. Thank you, guys. That's the show for tonight. No, seriously, this is insanity. This is the insanity that just freaking, I can't even talk. I'm speechless. I swear to God, we were doubled over. Tears in our eyes the entire convention, because that's what it's about, guys. You go to these paranormal conferences, these horror conferences, you know? It's a family. The horror community is a family. The paranormal is a family, you know? You learn things. It's about embracing new people in. It's about having a good time, sharing ideas. But the most important thing is it's great to take it seriously because this is a serious passion of ours. It definitely is a serious passion of ours, guys, and the whole community. And it's great to find new knowledge and find new technology and help others, you know, solve their problems or help, you know, people pass over. I mean, it's great. And I totally believe that we should respect what we do. You know, you shouldn't be an ass. Use common sense when you ghost hunt. Don't vandalize. Don't drink on a ghost hunt. Stop. Common sense for most of us, right? But there's no reason that you have to go and be completely an a-hole or to be, you know, just way too serious about your stuff. There's a difference between having respect, a healthy respect, and giving information and being fun at the same time. And, of course, we do that in the GG Hour. We give a little bit of info. We entertain you a little bit. But we do it in fun, you know? I mean, we keep you entertained. Well, we hope. Is there anybody listening? That would be entertaining. But, yeah, our mics are actually disconnected, and we are actually doing the show for each other.
Well, apparently my mic is disconnected.
Your mic is officially disconnected. The producers didn't want to tell you. This is a subtle hint that they're edging us out. Next week, my mic will be gone. Both mics will be gone. We'll be sitting here going,
which we'll be talking to ourselves.
We'll start talking to the flowers that they provide us. They don't provide us with new equipment, but they provide us with flowers. Great stuff, guys. So next week we'll be talking into the tulips. Thank you. But coming live from the beehive. quick to the beer case. So, oh my God, guys, seriously, it was a great convention. And like I said, you have to have fun. You have to get together, you have to have fun, because if you take it too seriously, you're going to lose sight of what's important. You're going to lose sight of your passion. You're going to become stale, you're going to become dry, and you're going to become an a-hole, seriously. And a few people, I will not mention names, but a few people in the community have obviously crossed that line. So, yeah, we're gunning for you guys. But, no, the most part, the Louisville Convention, man, it was all about everybody coming together. It was about unity, loyalty. Everybody just kind of hung out, stuck with it, you know. We stuck through starvation together because, you know, you're at a convention all day. You don't really have time to go grab something to eat. So everybody starved together. It was awesome. It was awesome. We were all Gandhi for the evening. But, no, oh, my God. Was it not Picky Ed? Did, I mean, this is, what, your second paranormal conference that you've come to us with?
That is true.
Oh, was it not Insanity?
It was awesome. It was awesome. We could have had more food instead of sitting there starving ourselves all the time.
Becky Ed would go, I'm hungry. I'm like, another hour. Let's just do this right now. We'll eat in an hour. And Techie had stomach acid and eating his insides. I'm like, yeah, we're fine. Drink another beer. You're good.
Yeah, and that hour turned into 5 hours.
But it was good time. Seriously. And that's what I'm saying, guys. It's what it's all about. But Mid-South, if you missed it, it was great. You had speakers like Tim Yancey got up there. The priest guy got up there. I can't remember his name. I'm so sorry. Don't want to disrespect you by calling you the priest guy. I could call you Father Marin. I don't know. Let's call him Father Marin. Father Marin was there. He was awesome. I was watching him work. Good stuff. Crazy stuff. Tanya and Allie were there. They were awesome. You know, healing hands and massage. I mean, these girls are great with the metaphysical stuff. Of course, you had the radio shows there. You know, you had ghost groups there representing themselves. You had Spook TV there. The Booth Brothers were there. There was even a Booth Brothers lookalike contest. Hosted by the Ghostman Demon Hunter themselves. So it was nuts. And of course, or no, it was the Booth Brothers Soundalike contest, and they had a Keith Age lookalike contest. Sorry about that, guys. I don't know. I was in the demon spewing contest. I won. So you know, good times like that. Yeah, I twitch every once in a while when it comes through. I don't know. It was good times. And like I said, Insanity. You know, last night, we laughed so hard. I mean, I had Bonnie and Doug going about the armrest thing. It was crazy. It was great stuff. Of course, Stacy Dixon and the Black Cat Paranormal Group from Nashville, Tennessee were there. Those guys are awesome. They're doing some great stuff. They just started up. Stacy's been in ghost hunting for a while now. She recruited some other people that have kind of, you know, been in it and not really had a group that was serious. So they decided to band together and they formed Black Cat Paranormal. I think it's all girls in the group right now. They're not segregated, guys. They're not saying you can't be in it. It's just that's how it turned out right now. But, you know, they had a DVD there. They had a booth there. They were setting up for it. It was good times. But, yeah, I promote Black Cat Paranormal, the GG Hour does, because we're going to actually do some stuff with them. Next April, I believe, we are going to Tennessee State Prison, and we're shooting a ghost hunting thing with them. I'm just doing it because it's fun. I love Stacy to death. I love Black Cat Paranormal. They always have a good time. I just completely almost knocked my water over. I'm like, oh my God, it was great.
It was flashbacks of the beer.
I know, I'm having flashbacks. Oh my God. But, it's Nam, man. It's Nam all over again. No, seriously, it was great times. So we're going to be shooting stuff with them. I'm psyched about those guys. I'll get their link up on the page so you can check them out. There's some crazy girls, guys. Seriously, these girls are crazy. They're passionate. They're nuts. You're going to love them. Oh my God. All I can think of is the laughter we had this weekend. It was insane. Seriously insane. The guys from Fright Night were there. They were promoting the horror stuff, but it was mostly Jesus and the armrest guys and Moses
the lamp.
So I don't know. I don't know what's going on anymore. I mean, it was nuts. And of course, everyone's like, that doesn't make any sense. Nothing made sense this weekend at all, seriously. It's just laughter and fun and good times. So if you missed Mid-South, I don't know. I hope we gave you a good... We didn't really talk much your stuff and who's there. Ghostly Talk actually covered the entire convention for you guys. They have every guest down pat. So if you want to listen to the speakers themselves, go ahead, hit ghostlytalk.com. Scott L. did a great job recording all that. And then, of course, we're the stuff that you don't get to hear. We are the crap that happened, the inside jokes, the rampant, you know, ass grabbing happens behind the scenes of the speakers. That's the serious side. We're giving you the entertaining side because, you know, those guys are great. They do a great job, you know, speaking, and all the presentations were awesome. But, you know, you guys really want to know about who punched who for... So you want to hear about Jesus being in our mess. I hope we did a good job explaining Mid-South. If not, like, I really don't care. But, no, it was great. It was a good time. I'm looking forward to it. I think the next one, I don't know. I heard Patrick Burns talking about Haunted Hickory. We're not going. I don't think I'm from now until December. So I've got other stuff going on, stuff like that. But Ghostly Talk and G&D will be on it. So definitely ghostlytalk.com. Like I said, pick them up. They covered the convention. I'm like, I'm blanking. I'm like, is it ghostlytalk.com or what is it? Because I always go there. No, I don't.
Ghostlytalk.com. It's on my butt.
Okay, good. Bonnie will beat me because, like, I'm so behind on the archives for that show. But, oh, my God, they're great, though. So, anyway, I'm rambling, which is not unusual for this show. Of course you know this. Good times. Oh, I do have to mention something, though. All the insanity, all the jokes, the terrorism in the airport and stuff like that. Techie Ed has now aspired to every convention that Patrick Burns is at to harass him. Patrick Burns, I love him to death. We had a great time. Every time I see him, I harass him. But Techie Ed has taken it a step further, and it's insanity, guys. That's something else you missed at Mid-South. But don't worry, we brought it to you. Techie Ed was it not entertaining?
It was, because now he calls me Mr. Ed, you know, like the little horse guy.
The little horse guy.
But it's all right, Patrick Burns. I know your middle name.
see the dirt that the GG Hour has on the paranormal community? Yeah, we know your middle name. That's right. Seriously, some good stuff, guys. It was a great time. I had a blast. But you know what? Man, we're hitting the halfway point of the show. So what I'm going to do... is take us to the commercial. Techie Ed's going to take us right in there. When we come back, we're going to have Circus Envy himself. I am so excited that we snagged him, guys. So stay tuned. I believe we have a little something from the Voorhees Camp Council of America?
Yeah, I believe that's right. It's interesting.
Roll it.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Friday 13 stuff. It was actually a buddy of mine very cool. He covers some of the old horror movie stuff. Did a great job. That was from one of the Friday the 13th sequels. Whoever can name it gets a piece of Gore Girl's towel. No, I'm just kidding. Seriously, some good stuff. Like I said, guys, you're going to hear some horror stuff the entire month of August because we are in Gore Girl's Halloween extravaganza. But you know what? I can't wait to bring him on. I'm psyched. Let's get him on right now. You know what, guys? We've got the one, the only, the biggest thing in the horror community right now, the hottest thing going on, and by far the sexiest guy I know, Circus Envy. What's up, Circus Envy?
What's up, Scary Pops? That screwed up dude that loves to be lewd.
We love you, Circus Envy. My God. What is going on? How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on. Really kicking off Halloween. I just worked at Netherworld last night, and Zachary's, the cool girl's birthday was on the 26th. I called to wish him a happy birthday. His 90th birthday, so definitely a great weekend to kick off Halloween.
Definitely, and I'm excited because the GG Hour has you to kick off our Halloween extravaganza. I mean, I couldn't even think of a better way to do it. This is awesome. So I got to ask you, though, man. I got to ask you. Okay, I was checking out your MySpace, which people can go to myspace.com/circusenvy. But it says on there, I swear to God, guys, this is good stuff right here. I'm like, it makes me hot to talk about it. But it says that you kind of start off Circus Envy. It was an expression of your own twisted childhood, that you're sort of an avenger of lost innocence and a protector of children.
Yes, absolutely. I wanted to really differentiate myself with, some predecessors like Gacy and that type of thing where it has their child predators. I definitely see Circus Envy actually as a specific catalyst for a voodoo entity called Getty. It's part of the origin that I'm writing, part of a screenplay that I'm writing, and Getty is he's the god of death and resurrection. He's also a protector of children. He's a clown. When you lay sacrifices for this god, you have to leave brandy and sweets and cigars. I'm all about this.
Oh, my God. This sounds awesome. This is right up our alley. Oh, my God. This is great. I mean, are you working on it right now? Have you finished the screenplay? Or?
I'm about halfway through. And so it's something, I've been working on. I'm kind of stuck. I'm really hoping to find someone. I'm really hoping to maybe put it in the medium of a graphic novel, and I'm looking for someone that maybe can illustrate. I've got the basic idea planned out. I've got a really strong synopsis, and just hoping, to bring it into fruition and either the form of a film or into a graphic novel. I have so much backstory and so much frivolous stuff. I think it combines a lot of, modern culture with a lot of mythology and old school religion and that type of stuff with the voodoo aspect of it. I get caught up on the frivolous details, so I don't know how well it would translate into a movie. I have a transgender in-law in it. I'm kind of a deadbeat. It starts out. It's just crazy. Then I discover that I'm a catalyst for this voodoo entity.
This sounds perfect, actually. If this is not made soon, I will freak out, seriously. You will contact me immediately, right? I need to get my hands on this. So.
Oh, absolutely. It's with all these remakes out here. Come on, guys. Give me a break and let's make something new and original.
Thank you. Oh, my God. Remakes. I'm so tired of them. God. It's all these Hollywood fat cats padding their pockets, man. I mean, that's what it is, and it's ridiculous. And you know what gets me, too, is that, I don't know about you, but I'm all about the roots of horror, keeping it real, keeping the truth there, keeping it original. And all these kids today that are watching the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the new Halloween, all the stuff, they don't even realize that there's original movies.
Well, yeah, and you know what? There's also so much fact out there that can be explored. There's never been an actual, Ed Gein movie that's been done very well. I mean, I love Kane Hodder, but I don't think that the production value in the latest Ed Gein movie really did it justice. And there are so many factual things that have happened. There's so much history. There's so much mythology. There's just so much out there to be explored. And remaking things and revisiting things that have been perfected the first go around is a little bit redundant.
It's ridiculous. So I say if you don't have an original idea or you can't come up with something crazy on your own, put the camera down. Seriously, we don't need it. You know? What's this? Okay. Your dirty sideshow gimmick. I like that. I so like that. I want a t-shirt with your face and that splashed across my chest. Seriously. What?
Like that, a dirty side gimmick on Catastrophes, yeah.
I'm getting excited.
That's like every night in Netherworld.
My leg is going 240. This is awesome. This is great. But, no, I mean, seriously, with you, and this is why I love you to death, is because you keep it real. You know, you're not trying to be something, you know, you're not trying to promote things that you can't stand behind or, you know, you're not being a hypocrite in any way. You know, you're telling it like it is. You know, you're keeping it real to the horror roots. You're a persona. I mean, I'm a, you know, gore girl is a persona, but you're a persona, man, in the horror industry, and you do a fantastic job. You're spawning the love of horror. And, I mean, I think that's important nowadays, you know. People need a catalyst. They need something to you know, yeah, you know, I'm following that guy because, you know, what he says is awesome. I mean, and you're fun. That's just, I got to stand behind it, you know. The GG Hour's got to stand behind stuff like that.
I appreciate it. He's, you know, he's definitely an extension of myself, and it's a part of my psychology, and it's also a very, you know, it's not only fun. I think there's a lot of depth to it. I think there's a lot of a spiritual aspect to it, and then a lot of humor as well.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, I mean, sometimes acting out like a big kid, and just being free and kind of making a mockery. I think that's, you know, in my interpretation of a clown, is kind of scoffing in the face of everything that's normal or considered normality. So, you know, and I wanted something different, of course. Not that I set out to really be a clown. It's just the best archetype that kind of personified what I felt. And then here, I've actually been doing this since 2000. I think Circus Sent Me appeared officially in the West Hollywood Parade in 2000.
Oh,
and
wow.
I've been developing and evolving ever since. And then here along comes Captain Spaulding and things like that. So I get compared to him a lot. But I think he's totally an original character all on his own.
Oh, my God. Well, I have to say, like, look at horror history, all these great clowns that came out. I mean, and then, of course, the clown from Stephen King's It. And, you know, Sid Haig with Captain Spaulding. How are you, like, different from them? What are you bringing to the table that their personas didn't?
Well, first of all, I think Stephen King's It is brilliant. I think that's a brilliant perception of a clown. I think it deals with the psychological aspects of it. And I do touch on, on some of that, too. But also, I consider more Circus Indy as a vigilante, more so more along the lines of The Crow or something like that. I don't think just because he appears evil that he necessarily is evil. I think that he's intimidating and he's monstrous. And I think there's conflicts within him, but, you know, I kind of consider him like an anti-hero.
Seriously, yes. I consider Techie Ed an anti-hero. Even though he's an Herculean. But whatever, you know, we can't choose. Yeah,
that.
We can't choose. Well, what's up? I saw in your thing sort of a tribute to Sid Haig's Captain Spaulding. What did you think of that? Because I just thought that was awesome. That just epitomized, you know, 70s horror. That was like bringing, I mean, he became a cult icon, you know, Captain Spaulding character became a cult icon after House of a Thousand Corpses. But seriously, just the way he played it was downright gritty to the roots. Like, you know, okay, here's your fairy tale. Life is not a fairy tale. This is how it is. This is the dirt under your fingernails, you know? And I thought that was great. That was total 60s, 70s, like, you know, exploitation stuff going on. So, I mean, are you a fan of Spaulding or what's going on?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love all the characters. I love Mother Firefly. I love all the characters in that. I like eccentric, cartoonish type characters like that in House of a Thousand Corpses, and even the direction they went in Devil's Rejects. And Sid did play it absolutely to perfection. The thing about it is, I live in Georgia, outside of Atlanta, so it is so easy for me to see this, you know, something, some quirky little place selling fried chicken and gasoline and probably bacon, and then, you know, in a Monsters and Mad Men museum right outside of, you know, somewhere I live. And then the way he played it was awesome. So, yeah, he did a great job. It was such a mixture of genres where he was, you know, the clown and the tough guy, John Wayne fan. It was great.
Definitely, yeah, definitely was very cool. I mean, okay, I got to ask, I mean, you were talking about the screenplay and everything. What was the video that you had said that you were doing with the something cemetery?
Oh, I met up with a band called Jeff Ugly Shoes and the Cemetery Surfers in Mississippi. And I've started kind of a collaboration with them, and as part of many collaborations that I'm in right now, creatively, is, and they've asked me to, first of all, that they told me they were going to be doing a song called The Ballad of Circus Envy. On a separate note, they want me to be in a video. I think they're in the process of writing a song now about Nightmares. So,
oh my god, awesome! Seriously, what would the Ballad of Circus Envy be about? Like, what is this song about? Because you are a complex character. Like you said, the clown is a mask for this psychological, you know, basic psychological warfare that a human has, you know? So what is the Ballad of Circus Envy? Is it complex?
Well, you know, I don't know. I've got to see what their interpretation is. I sent him my synopsis, and he was like, oh, wow, I can write a whole musical about this. Because there is a lot of subject matter there.
Walk down Broadway, and there's Wicked, and your Jersey Boys, and the Ballad of Circus Envy.
Exactly. I'm going to be a new Phantom of the Paradise or whatever.
Oh, my God. No one ever mentions that movie anymore. That was an awesome movie. I have to like hug the mic now, because seriously, Brian De Palma's Phantom of the Paradise, I don't know how many horror fans out there remember, but that was a twisted interpretation of Phantom of the Opera. It was awesome. It was just odd and queer and quirky and just downright like brutal at times, and it was awesome. I mean, it was just amazing.
It's definitely underappreciated, and you don't hear a lot about it at all.
You know where I actually first heard about that movie is I found it in a freaking, like, Walmart $5 bin.
Wow.
Seriously, I'm like, what is this? And this was, like, years and years and years ago. And I'm like, what is this movie? And I go home and watch it. I'm like, oh, my God. It is awesome. But
I'm very fortunate to have a friend that when Patterson and I were doing a blog talk show, he would always provide our obscure movie of the week. And Phantom of the Paradise is his absolute favorite. He has, like, an unhealthy obsession with it.
That's okay.
He turned me on to it.
I got an obsession here. I mean, I don't know. Once again, Ed the Necrophiliac, I don't know. Whatever. But, okay, of course, we've actually heard about this, and I don't know, this is a popular thing. I didn't know that this was a popular thing in the horror community. I didn't know that this was a popular question, and I'm sure you get asked all the time. But what is the clown sex?
Oh, the clown sex thing. Oh, well, you know, just a little something. You grab some chloroform and just go for it.
Oh, my God, that's awesome. I think that's the Ballad of Circus Envy right there. Oh, my
exactly.
God.
It starts with me, a bottle of chloroform. You order a pizza, the pizza girl comes over, and blah, blah.
That's definitely, oh my God, guys. See, this is the inside of your vigilante mind right here, guys. We're in depth in Circus Envy's mind. And I'm scared right now. I'm grabbing my mic. I'm scared. But it's awesome. Well, seriously, what's your favorite? Because we're on the Halloween countdown here. And I was just talking at the beginning of the show about Halloween meaning something different to everybody. So what is it for you? Like, I don't know, was it a childhood thing? What is it for you that totally hooked you on this time of year, the season, the meaning, all this stuff?
Well, it was the first time of the year that my mother actually let me out of the cellar. I'm kidding. No, my brother was an avid, he worked at Haunted House with me, he was an avid horror movie fan. And so he was 9 years older than me. I was terrified of everything, but then as I got older, I really started to embrace the horror genre a lot more. On the flip side of my brother terrify me, there was on every Sunday and Saturday evening, Elvira, and provided, like, you know, she'd soften the edge of all the, you know, all the horror, and kind of provided this this comedic twist to it. So, it, you know, it allowed me a safe way to be interested. Of course, everyone idolizes their big brother to be interested in horror. So,
I don't know if soften and Elvira go together in the same sentence. I don't think that's right, that soften and Elvira go in the same sentence.
Oh, well.
I'm like, yes, I've tapped in your childhood, haven't I? I found a loophole, haven't I? Yes, you aren't really watching the movies, guys. You got to pick up in between the lines here.
Yeah, soften really does, in all aspects, because, you know, her hair is like a helmet she could go through. You would think she knows it's a code orange alert because it's probably bulletproof.
A code orange. I freaking love Elvira, man. It's like you were saying, we had all these great icons, you know, like, you know, these horror hosts. That's what it was about, was the horror hosts. It was the campiness of it. You know, it was the kitschiness also. I mean, do you remember Joe Bob Briggs, for God's sakes, sitting in his trailer park chair, you know, just going off about, well, there's about 6 decapitations in this movie. I'm going to swig another beer, and we're going to watch this alien come on, this girl. It's going to be great. I mean, that's good stuff. But,
yes, so it was all viral for me, my brother, and then the next thing I knew, I was in a small Christian school driving a hearse and wearing sheer makeup. That's the next thing I knew.
I don't know, horror movie fans, it's always this love, this passion, this insanity. So it's good to hear your backstory, because, you know, it's awesome to hear everybody's, like, you know, their descent into madness, the madness that is horror. But, okay, what's up with you wanting to meet Corey Haim? What's going on with this?
I've always liked Corey Haim a lot since The Lost Boys and stuff like that. And so I actually did meet him back in Philadelphia. And the weird thing is, I have a relationship or a friendship that spanned like 20 years, and we are essentially Corey Haim and Corey Feldman. We've been through addiction together. We've been through the bitchy wife one on his side, you know, the arguments and everything. I just like Haim, and I feel bad for him, the way he's being treated. Although I identify more with Feldman, like in my relationship with my friend Chad. I don't know. I like Haim, and I feel bad for him, the way he's being treated, and kind of, I think the way that the new reality show is portraying him. So,
I've never had a guest on that we actually like started to feel sad for Corey Haim. Like, this is an interesting twist to the GGR. I mean, seriously.
He was so nice, Corey Haim. I mean, it's like instantly when I walked into Monster Mania, he was right there. I gave him a Circus Envy T-shirt, and he was so nice to me the whole time. By the end of the convention, he hugged me, and everybody was like, was he screwed up? I was like, hell, I don't know. I was popping panic. He's been drinking. I was on Planet Haim, too.
I was on Planet Haim. I don't know. I'm going to say that every time I'm effed up. I'm on Planet Haim. Leave me alone.
Exactly.
I'll keep your eyeball. Leave me alone.
I vaguely remember the whole weekend, except for Haim was there and Jake DC.
Well, what's it like, I mean, meeting all these old horror stars that you grew up watching, man?
Oh, I think it's great. It just, you know, my whole MO is to bring that imaginary world into my own reality, and that's what I strive to do. And so to see these people in person, especially when I actually got to meet Elvira, and knowing a well-known Elvira in person, it was just totally weird seeing someone that you grew up with live and in the flesh.
Okay, I just pissed myself, and I love you, and I know how to. No,
sometimes it's a little weird. I met Grandpa Munster before he passed away. I met him back in 98. He was extremely cantankerous and rude. I was like, someone forgot to take their Geritol.
Tell me a story. Shut up and open your bottles. I can pour some brandy in there. Keep quiet.
They kind of creeped me out. I was crying. No, other than that, I think, you know, most of Elvira did tell me to hurry up last time I saw her at Chiller, and I got really mad and was tempted to pull her wig off. But aside from that,
we have the de-wigging of Elvira. It's awesome. I don't know if it's because, I mean, you are, like, the best vigilante I know, because we're ripping the hair off of horror hosts. That's right, guys.
Horror host or drag queen, just hang away. It's a cardinal sin.
We're not sure. But I was looking at, you know, if people Google Circus Emmy, a couple things pop up for you. And there was this one thing. You did this photo shoot. And I don't think people realize, okay, they hear Circus Emmy, and, you know, they've heard what you said and everything. But I don't think people realize, like, the psychological, you know, comedy to this. Because, like you said, you're representing all these different, you know, complexities and aspects of the human subconscious and stuff like that. Things that, you know, people fear, you approach, and you conquer. But, you know, it's just stuff like that. Like you said, you know, you've created this entity, this thing that's just, you know, sort of like an anti-hero. And, I mean, mm-hmm. that's, you know, people don't know how to take that. Some fear it, some embrace it. But I was looking at this photo shoot you did. And it actually has you and this girl, and it was supposedly you murdering this girl in the woods.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's so many people that I know that are like, oh my God, that's horrible. You're promoting violence. Blah, blah. They don't get it. I think a lot of people misjudge the horror community. They misjudge a lot of these movies. And they're like, oh, well, that was stupid. That was this and that. You're being way too serious, and you're you know, just stop. Because seriously, it's about the kitschiness, the campiness. It's about you're exploring evil and incarnate. But in the horror community, we understand this is bad. We're not saying, yeah, go out and do it. This is bad stuff, but we're telling you, yeah, we get it. We get why people do this. But you know what? There's an irony there, you know? There's a sense of comedy, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, this isn't all of us. Hello. So, I mean, we're just approaching it. I think the horror community exposes human fear. I think it exposes things, and people can't handle it. And I mean, I'm cutting you off, man. I'm sorry. I ramble too damn much. Go ahead.
You know what I think is so funny that you say that? I think people, it's like when you work at a haunted house, for instance, I think there's so much playfulness involved, and it is totally like being a big kid, and people perceive it as dark and evil, and they're so defensive, and they feel like they've got to go in, and, you know, exactly like my quote says, a dirty sideshow gimmick to cast your fears on, that's literally what they see you as. They get to personify, I guess, kind of their own darkness, and shout stuff at you and be rude. And but, you know, it's in the reality, the people, the actors that are there, it's like when you're working a haunted house, everybody on all the visitors are outsiders, and everybody inside is like a family, and it's a clique, and everybody's just playing out this side of their psychology. And it's totally a playful thing. I don't feel dark when I'm doing haunted house. I mean, I do to a degree. I feel powerful, but it's so much like rekindling almost a childhood thing where you're really getting absorbed in your imagination and just playing.
Exactly.
And I think it's therapeutic. I think it's a very safe way to embrace your darkness, to release some frustration. So, I mean, you know, you gotta weigh your pros and cons when people are so adverse to it.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I tell people that all the time. Or, like, there's this old guy that we had at our high school, and he was a security guard. Loved this guy. His name was Al. He was crazy. He was kind of like Grandpa, the caretaker's guy, you know? And it was crazy, right? So I had this Texas Chainsaw Massacre shirt on, and I was walking to class one day, walking to our class, and he, like, chased me down the hallway, chased me into class. He's like, you can't wear that because you're promoting violence with a chainsaw. And I'm like, what? I was like, I'm not promoting anything. I was like,
yeah.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre was an independent film that was made balls out in your face. It was the spark of horror. It got you going. It was excitement. You know, it was basically serendipity because they stumbled upon all those camera moves. You know, I mean, it was great filmmaking. It was craziness. And like you said, you're playing out these fears, these subconscious things, these things that in your childhood are your imagination, you get to play them out. It's harmless. And, I mean, yeah, okay, you are in a way, I don't know, I guess the horror community in a way is preaching a lesson. Watch your back. Yeah, you know, we're telling people, yeah, we're not saying this is cool to go out and do it. We're showing you what can happen so that you're not a dumbass putting yourself in this situation. But we're also, like you said, portraying this side, portraying these psychological things. So I don't know. I have no patience for these people that try to preach about it.
you know, the irony is, if you look at horror movies in the 30s and 40s, the Wolfman, the creature from the Black Lagoon, the Dracula, it was always where they had this duplicity about them. You know, it was always about the struggle, whether it'd be about, you know, some type of innuendo for alcoholism or guilt about sexuality. There was always that underlying factor there. Now, as we get into Freddy and Jason, we've got these masked people that are totally apathetic.
Right.
And that's what we fear now. So I think it is a huge statement about the world and, you know, what scares us now. Or actually, you know, do we admire these people? Because some people do admire that apathetic state, you know. I mean, people cheer for the bad guy. That's
We do, but it's from that playful side, you know. We want to see the splatter effects and the blood, guts, and gore. But like you said, it's all playful, and people don't understand it. But, man, Circus, I mean, you're just too much fun. I mean, we love the whole aspect of you. This is GG Hour stuff. We eat this stuff up. Tech the Ed is over here smiling and laughing. To get him to do that, you must be amazing in some way. So, I don't know.
He just has gas.
It might
be a little bold.
he's excited. He wants to go hunting with you now and go kill girls in woods. It's exciting. But what's going on? Like, can people get some merchandise? You were talking about the T-shirt. What's going on? Where can one get?
Absolutely. I've been working with Patterson Lundquist, my partner in crime, and we're developing CircusIndy.com right now. So that's up and running. I'm also working with Southern Gothic Revival, another local band, to do some music for the site. I do have some Circus Indy T-shirts available now, and you can check them out on my MySpace page, which is actually myspace.com/scarypup.
Oh. So. I saw Circus. I'm like, I saw Circus. I'm like, okay. Apparently, my
computer's
fire. If you
don't remember that, just go to CircusIndy.com, and there's a link directly back to my MySpace page. So.
We're going to have to hit it as soon as we get off, because we want these T-shirts. I'm dying now. I need one. So, Yed and I are going to be hitting that site, but... Oh my God, this was great. I mean, so you're gonna be basically probably swamped for the month of October.
Oh yeah, it's always busy. It's not as of yet as busy this year as last year. I was in Philadelphia last year. I was in New Jersey last year. I was in Orlando and then back and forth between two haunted houses. I was hired by both of them and it was absolutely nuts. This year I'm pretty much sticking with Netherworld. I think I've got an appearance at Aatrox Factory at some point. And I'm kind of taking it a little more easy this year. I'm kind of trying to concentrate on writing and that type of thing. So
awesome. Well, you definitely got to keep us posted on what's going on because I want to know more about the film. I want to know more about, you know, the stuff that you're doing with the band, everything. I got to know. This is good stuff, and I'm eating it up, man. But seriously, we have come to the end of the show. Thank you so much, Circus Envy. You rock. People need to check you out. This is insanity. When I first met you, I loved you because you were so real and you were insane like we are. Just absolutely insane. I mean,
to see you again in Nashville, if not before.
Oh my God, yes. Well, we gotta get together, you know. But definitely yeah. Nashville Horror Con, man. So anyway, thank you so much, Circus Envy. Everybody check him out. We're gonna have to wrap the show, guys, but this was your first trip into the Halloween extravaganza. So you know what? From our crypt to yours, sweet dreams.